Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and today we are talking to Gail Buddy. Gail is an obedience competitor, and she has worked for an awful lot of years with dogs that you don't think of as being obedience competitors. So, Gail, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, my name is Gail, and I've worked with clumbers for almost 30 years. I first got my first clumber and didn't want to sell me one because they don't do obedience, and over the years, that has since changed. There are a number of competitors, and I titled seven dogs. I'm working on my seventh now, actually.
Wow.
And I had my other clumber that had his master's in preferred agility, two trips to the AKC Invitational, and was invited two other times, but we weren't able to go. He competed till he was 10 years old.
Wow.
And I also...
He really did until he was 10.
Yeah.
Breaker.
I retired Breaker at 10 from agility and at 11 from obedience.
That's impressive.
He was the first clumber male to get a UD leg in obedience, and there's since been another one, but 5 years we did not finish the UD just because Breaker had fun in the ring. And it was a great journey. And then years ago I had a clumber bitch named Jen that is still the only clumber to have Oach points, and she had 8 UDX legs, and I retired her at 11 and a half, and the only thing she wanted to do was jump. She had lost interest in everything else. And I've worked with many other breeds as well, but clumbers is my preferred breed.
Right, and clumbers are not stupid, but they don't have the same type of drive. Would you say that would be accurate?
Well, I think of clumbers as intelligent thinking dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually determined hunting dogs, and they're not the marshmallows people think they are. They're a very determined dog.
And stubborn.
Well, I don't really think they're stubborn as much as they have to do a reason to do something.
Yeah.
They need to have a reward in it for them. They're willing to please. They're willing to do anything with you. But if you want them to do it with any kind of animation style, there needs to be rewards for that.
Okay.
And not every clumber is going to be suitable. There sometimes the males, the size is a hindrance, but they can all do obedience. It's just how much you want to put in it to give the rewards to them.
Right. And so in a sport that's dominated by more common dogs, border collies, golden retrievers, all of that sort of thing, what are your challenges when you're trying to go for Oach points or you're trying to win these classes to get your advanced titles in obedience with some of the more uncommon obedience breeds?
Well, first of all, I don't set my goals, and I don't think it's a good idea to get all the way through utility or go through and get Oach points. I think that's the wrong approach and puts pressure on you and your dog. You need to enjoy the journey you're on with your dog. And I think if you look at clumbers, their structure, they're not going to jump up and down. They're not going to prance. They might as puppies, but it won't last. And they're not going to crank their head up looking at you. They're just not structured that way. They're a low, long-bodied dog, so straight sits, correct sits are a problem. Running in on the recall, I don't think running is a natural pace for a clumber. It's a learned skill. And it's very hard for some of them to run in, collect their body, and sit nicely in front. They don't have to drop as fast as a border collie does. You know, I've learned through my training and the people I trained with that, for instance, a drop on recall, the dog will learn how it's comfortable to drop for him. Not every dog is going to drop correctly.
Right.
When you ask a clumber to do something that's too difficult for them, or they really don't see the point in doing it, you're not going to get good results. It's not like a golden, a border collie, or even Shelties that are more of a square-type dog where it's fairly easy for them. For a massive dog, things are more difficult.
It's really interesting. I'd never thought of it from the structural piece of it. I thought of it more from the mind piece of it. I love that concept. When you're doing obedience in some of these performance events, that you have to look at the dog's actual structure.
and progress. You know, I've talked to people that get discouraged because their four-month-old clumber is not keeping up in the obedience class with the other dogs. Well, a four-month-old clumber is very awkward.
Yeah.
You know, they're lucky if they can get their body going in the same direction. You know, so yeah. You have to take, whether it's a clumber, a Sussex, Malamute, Bull Mastiff,
St. Bernard.
Yeah, they're massive dogs. You need to consider that. Clumbers are very willing, loyal dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to please you, but if there's nothing in it for them and you just make it more difficult and expect results now, they're not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the most important thing. Obedience takes time, and that happy working dog with precision is the reward for me.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, you don't get it right away.
Right, and it's such a team sport.
Right, and agility too. You don't mm-hmm. get it all the way.
Mm-hmm. And so I can remember my mom with our very first clumber. She put his last couple CD legs on him, and Chappie healed on the heel-off leash and passed with a score of 170.5 because he, instead of sitting on your left side like a proper good working mm-hmm. healing dog would do, every time the judge said halt and mom would stop, Chappie would scamper like a little bunny around to the right-hand side and face backwards.
and
did it every single time, so the judge passed him on consistency because
right.
he sat in the same place.
All they have to do
was
is
a
sit.
Good sense of humor, that man. But talk to us some of those kind of funny stories that you can... My clumber funny stories in obedience are legendary, so I want to hear some of yours.
Well, you know, clumbers, they are clowns. They have short attention spans. And I know with Breaker, he was quite the entertainer in the obedience ring. We did super going through novice. He won a couple big classes with scores of 198.5. He won a runoff. And that was back in the time when you'd have 50 dogs in
yeah.
the novice
yeah.
ring. And in open, the same thing, except one time in open, he refused to give me the dumbbell after the retrieve on the flat and just kept playing tug-of-war.
Oh, no.
And dear Bill Iwamoto was the judge, mm-hmm. and he wasn't sure how to score it or what to do because he kept pulling me. And finally, I did get the dumbbell, and then he does the retrieve over the high jump, and it's absolutely perfect. So that's a clumber mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in agility, Breaker's idea in agility was, well, if you're going to hesitate and you're not sure, I'm going to do this obstacle, or I'm going to go visit this person, or I'm going to do something. Unlike my golden retriever that stops and says, I don't know what you want, and I don't want to make a mistake.
Right.
And you get in the clumber's way, they'll take you out. They're not courteous that way,
right.
I don't think. They're
right.
determined
it's that,
dogs.
It's that
right.
low level, that low center of gravity thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're bred to forge through things, and that's what they do.
Right.
Every breed has its problems. And I know in agility, being massive dogs, and especially with AKC, with the horses getting harder now, even with Breaker, if I had to go over a jump and make a quick right turn to go up the A-frame, for safety reasons, I had to pull him out further so he would have momentum to make the A-frame.
Right.
You know,
right.
he can't make a sharp turn like a border collie or a poodle and make it
right.
up the A-frame.
Right.
He could pull himself up, but that's very hard.
Yeah. And
so
it's,
I didn't
it's not
want
safe
that.
For them.
You know, I went for safety as opposed to longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And they get their rhythm in the weave poles. They're very capable of doing
right.
fast weave
right.
poles. But they have to get their rhythm. You can't make them do it like another
right.
dog does.
Right. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the rewards that go with this, right? So there's lots of challenges, lots yeah. and lots of challenges of working with any breed that isn't sort of,
right.
as you say, square and light on its feet and all of those sorts of things.
Well, for me, when I first saw Clumber, many, many years ago, I was looking at the English Cockers or American Cockers.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a sporting dog I could pick up. And I saw
you
this
didn't get one.
No, I saw this big white dog across the building, and it was love at first sight.
Right.
And my friend that had Irish Setter said, I don't know what you're going to do with that. But anyway, it evolved, and I got my first clumber, second, third, fourth. And now I'm on my seventh. And I just love the breed. They're happy. They're fun to live with. Most of them are very mellow in the house. As far as spaniels go, they're much more mellow than the other spaniels in general. The Clumber boys love to be mama's boys. The bitches
right.
tend to be much more right. independent as a lot of breed. And actually,
yes.
size-wise, everything, the bitches are the much better working
right.
in the breed. They have more intense work. They're more dedicated to their work than I think the boys
mm-hmm.
are.
Right.
And I love their attitude. They're just fun dogs. They love to play. They're spontaneous, which goes along with obedience. You can usually train them with balls. Most are food orientated. There's lots of ways you can keep a Clumber interested, and that's the whole secret, to keep them interested in what you're doing with short, happy.
Right.
They don't make Clumbers do much of anything, then they appear to be stubborn, which I don't think they are. And they're just always up, happy sort of dogs. The downside of all that is they're a different breed. They're pretty dogs. They're like people magnets. People
mm-hmm.
are attracted to them. And
right.
once I was going into the obedience ring and somebody came up and tapped me on the shoulder to ask me what breed he was. And fortunately, the judge laughed and said that I could go out and get my stuff to get my act together again before going in,
right.
which was nice. But for any rare breed, that's really kind of a difficult thing. You need to be nice to the public, educate the public.
Yeah.
But they have to understand I'm going in the ring now.
Right.
So
right.
the people magnet thing, for me, sometimes can be a nuisance, but you need to promote the breed.
Yeah.
I never walk away from anybody with at least saying, I'm going in the ring, could you please wait or come back?
Yeah. Be happy to talk to you
right.
in another 5 minutes or something.
And there are some, you know, like the puppy I have now that's 14 months old, he is just a bundle of energy. People say he's electrified. And he's going to be a big dog, which is not the most common thing for the big Clumber
mm-hmm.
boys.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the boys. They're more affectionate. And personally, for me, I don't want to deal with the bitch in season ever
right,
again.
Because that does mess your obedience
right.
schedule
Well, I
up.
Just never whelp the litter. It's not my thing.
Right.
And, you know, now since the trend is not to spay or neuter till after they're two.
Mm-hmm.
And Clumbers, you can take them. They're not like some breeds, like the German Shepherds or some of the Century Dogs, where they bond and they don't transfer to another person well. Jen, the Clumber bitch that I had that did so well, that got Oach points and UDX legs,
right.
I got her at 4.5. I was her fourth owner.
Oh, my gosh.
Rocky was 13 months. I got him and put a CD on him. Woody was 4 months. Breaker was 7 months old.
Right.
So, you know, they can attach to people. They're really people dogs.
Right.
And I think that's one characteristic of the breed, even though they're really mama's boys, they're easily bought by somebody
right.
else that will treat them
Cookies,
like a
cats.
Yeah, basically
yeah.
they are.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, they're not like a lot of other breeds. They're very sociable dogs and amiable, which is a problem sometimes that I have dealing with rescue. They are so amiable. People think, oh, he loves the vet. I took him to puppy class. He goes to daycare. He loves everybody. They never give the dogs a job. They never learn commands. They never get rewarded for anything right. They're fed all day. They have tons of toys. And then when they do hear the word no, or you stop them from doing something they want to do,
mm-hmm.
like you get new carpet and you don't want the dog in that room, they growl. They don't understand.
Right.
I get that a lot in rescue.
Yeah.
You know, that people call that I don't understand it. But they need to be trained. They need a job.
Absolutely. And so advice for other people who are coming to obedience or coming to any of the companion events with a breed that isn't a common breed in the sport. Any suggestions, any advice as to health, as to temperament, as to anything like that?
Well, health-wise is an issue, and you have to go with the dog you have. For instance, Breaker that I had that retired at 10 from agility and 11 from obedience, I was told at 2.5 he was dysplastic and you should never jump this dog. Well, he never had an injury, and he had a fantastic career, and he represented the breed very well.
Yes, he did.
And I tell people, you need to go and find a good puppy class. If you go to a class and everybody has to have the same collar on, one size does not fit all. you need an instructor that's not going to look at you and say, well, we'll do the best we can. It's a clumber. You know, heard that many times. I was told that by a trainer that, yes, I'll take you as a student, but if one of my competitive students needs your time, I'll have to cancel you.
Oh, my gosh.
So I didn't go there. And the other thing I tell people when they're starting, to go and watch the class before you sign up. Don't be fooled by the number of OCHAs and the number of students that have done this and that. You need to go watch the class and do not take your clumber because they're people magnets. You need to focus on what people are doing in the class. Is the instructor interacting, working at that dog in a handler's pace? You need to be comfortable in the class you're going to, and you're not going to get everything you need in an 8-week class. Do not try and start your dog, say, gee, the National's in April, in January, I better find a class. That's just going to disappoint you and the dog, and then you're going to hate obedience when you never gave it a fair try.
And that's a great segue into what we were talking about yesterday, which is, what are your thoughts, what are your ideas about encouraging people to come to obedience, to stay in obedience, to give it a shot? What's your thoughts on that?
It's very difficult to get people interested in obedience. Obedience seems to be one of the dying sports. It doesn't generate enough revenue for AKC. In this generation, it's hard. You know, when you can spend the same entry fee, do dock diving, barn hunt, lure coursing, and once your dog knows how to do it, you don't have to practice. You don't have to wait 2 years to go in the ring. It's more instant gratification, but all of this, you need basic obedience,
right?
And you don't need to go in like Laura was saying about Jane's dog, Chappie. She went in to get a CD. She got the CD. She didn't go in to get first place. She went in as a companion with her dog, as a team. That's all you need to do. You don't have to set your goals really high. If it happens, it happens. I never set my goals high with Breaker or my other dogs, and we were successful. Not always,
right?
But you have to look at the success for the progress. Like somebody today, they didn't pass with their lab, but the dog's a very shy dog, and it was a success for her.
Right, so you're gauging your success against yourself.
It's a personal success.
Right.
It's not as vocal as it is in agility. You know, where agility people don't care if the dog knocks a bar or goes around, if he did the weaves nicely and that was a problem, or the teeter. You have to look at obedience, you know, that way. It's not an instant adrenaline rush like some of the other venues, and it takes time. And health-wise, you do what you and your dog are capable of.
Right.
You know, like Newly, my puppy now, if he gets really big, he might not be able to do agility.
Right.
I realize that. We'll do what we can do. I don't think he will because he's very athletic and and everything, but there's that possibility. You don't know.
Right. And you mentioned earlier, and I think this is something we could bring to the idea for our listeners that aren't as familiar with agility, the preferred classes where you jump lower for some of your off-breeds, some of your unusual breeds, some of your long, low, heavy breeds, Basset Hounds, Sussex, like that, it gives you an opportunity to be competitive. Right. And so could we talk a little bit about the preferred classes and some of the differences?
Well, agility in the preferred classes is one jump height lower. And agility jump heights go 4, 8, 12. They're 4-inch increments up to 24. Or 26 now. You can always jump your dog higher, but most people don't, unless they're going for the international team, which a clumber will not be. But the preferred classes I prefer for my dogs because of their mass. And other people, when I first started preferred with Breaker, it was kind of looked down on. There were very few other dogs in preferred. Now, since AKC has this thing against having a veteran class, a lot of the people with older dogs that still enjoy the point, even Border Collie Shelties, they are jumping preferred now and having a good time. And now you can go to the Nationals with preferred. I went to the Invitational as preferred. You can do that in a rare breed that there aren't five dogs ahead of you in regular classes. And it's all in training, like, you know, for instance, with Breaker, if he went too fast, he flattened out and dropped bars. I had to learn the correct speed. And for me, my agility training was mostly keeping him in condition. The turns, you know, the step jumping, the bounce jumping, you know, everything transferred well with Breaker and my other clumbers. They learned this obstacle and that obstacle, or this exercise and obedience and that exercise. And when I put them together, everything transferred well. Now, my Golden, for example, it didn't transfer as well.
Interesting.
You know, it was better for him to do the whole thing, not the whole novice routine, but the whole recall.
So, like, he did everything in a process, and he
right.
remembered it in a process.
Right.
Interesting.
You know, like the recall, he learned better sit in front and then finish. With the clumbers, I generally work on each individual part. And then when you put it together, it's more fun for them.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't drill.
Right.
Yeah. You can keep it fun for them, even on the drills, short and fun.
Mm-hmm.
People say my dog gets bored when I do it too often. Well, then you're doing something wrong.
Right.
You have to be animated and want your dog to focus on you rather than sniff the ground or look over there.
Right.
Which is not easy with the clumber.
Right.
And no. Spaniels in general, they're spontaneous, silly. They all have that characteristics. Mm-hmm.
And so one great tip from you for working with a clumber, one thing that you think, or any alternative breed, what's your best recommendation to practice today?
To know your breed, whether it's a terrier, a spaniel, a sighthound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sighthound people say you always have to focus on their head and watch their head. Clumbers, you need to keep it short and happy. You need to know your breed and your dog's capability and keep their weight, you know, in good working weight and keep them active. You can't let them lay around all week, go to class, and expect them to do well.
Right.
It does take work and not necessarily, you know, obedience practice, but you need to have fun games and different things to do. Clumbers like to learn. They like to please.
Right.
They like to be successful and get rewarded.
I like that. They like to be successful. And I
yeah.
think that's, for a lot of breeds that are sort of the non-traditional
right.
obedience dogs, I think that's a really great assessment. They want to do it right. They
yeah.
want to be successful. So maybe break those exercises
exactly.
down into smaller parts.
Even if it's a sit before they eat, they get a little treat for that, or they get their food, or maybe they pick up the paper for you. They need to learn that learning is fun and
right.
there's rewards.
Right.
And then the obedience stuff will follow.
Right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Gail. I really appreciate your time. I wish you the best of luck with Newly and your new journey.
Yeah. It'll be a journey.
It always is.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.